Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Viv Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Surely not, Kate.
So I'm just, at 8:15 a.m. I got up and I set up a mic because last time my sound was shit, so I was like, I'm going to impress Vix this time. And then at 8:45, the builders decided to remove every fire door in my block simultaneously. So there's the whole flat is vibrating. So it was nice to get some advance notice of that.
I'm worried now you've got no fire doors. Let's hope there's not a fire.
Well, by the time I go back in, they'll
put them on again, will they?
They'll put them on again. They're replacing them all.
Seems a bit random of them. We're going to take them off and then we'll put them all on again. Be fine. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they're different doors, because if they're just putting the same ones on, it's costing me a lot of money for nothing.
Yeah. Well, you want to check those doors, yeah.
Apparently a van blew up outside my flat last night and I didn't hear, my residence association WhatsApp group was all ablaze this morning with what the fuck happened. I'm like, wow, I really didn't hear any of that.
Didn't hear any of it.
Wow.
The van was ablaze, the WhatsApp group was ablaze. It was all going off.
It was all going on. Yeah.
Right. Should we make a start?
Yeah.
Let's crack on. I don't want to lose any of this gold, solid conversation that we've got going.
It's going to be all downhill from now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've done it. We've done the good bits.
Recorded this bit.
Particulars, I brought you all back because you were hits as well. There's no pressure, but.
Okay. Cool. Oh, this is like the hits podcast.
Oh, yeah. This is the greatest hits now.
The greatest hits with a reporter in the field, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what you're reporting on. You're just making anecdotes on the spot, Kate. This is improv.
Exactly.
You're in Kabul. You're welcome.
That's staying in. That's staying in. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade podcast. We are series two, and we have got some of our favourites from series one back because I could not get enough of them. So we'll start off in the Zoom corner that the listeners can't see, but I can see her. It's Kate Martin in her car.
In reporting live from a car park in Dulston, what else would you ask for?
It's really, I don't know what to say about this. We're going to get through it together, really.
Good. I'm glad I've got some support. I'm the reporter in the field. I'll report live. I'll do a little bit of challenge Annika. I don't have the Lycra, but I do have some lesbian baggy jeans.
I mean, the listeners don't know you don't have the Lycra. We can pretend that you do.
I don't think anyone needs to imagine that, really.
We've also got a perfect shot. Like, it's absolutely a perfect shot of where you're positioned to your camera. That's why it looks like you're on telly.
Definitely. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
It is
yeah,
top gear.
It really is, yeah. And the leather jacket.
I am the new Jeremy Clarkson.
And, we also have the brilliant comedian extraordinaire, Joe Caulfield. How are you?
I'm good. I was just wondering who you're going to go to. I was excited. She's going to say something.
It was like the Oscar moment when we go,
Is that me?
And the return of Steve Zissou. It's Zoe Lyons. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. Good to be here.
Reporting live from all corners of the UK. We've got Dulston, we've got Scotland, we've got Brighton. It's all going on.
True.
It's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you all presumably know as much about the rules as you would if you'd read my email anyway, because you've played before.
Sure.
So we all know what we're doing. I pretty much stripped back all the rules in series two because nobody followed them. So so this is just a constructed conversation where I arbitrarily give out points. We're going to have a lot of fun, right? Let's go.
Didn't you say that you get the most points for just giving you endless compliments?
I might have revealed that whilst drunk, yes.
Cool. Cool.
Did you want to do you want to kick that off? Or?
Let me think.
It shouldn't be that hard to think of. You're already into negative points.
Really bad at compliments. Give me a moment. I'll think of something.
I just wanted to give you guys a chance, but if you want me to go straight in there, then I mean, Vix, looking exceptional, babe. I mean, how could you look like so fabulous on a Thursday?
Is it Thursday?
I did have to think then. I did have to pause for a moment. I was like, oh, I don't know what day is.
The moment's passed. You had your chance, you blew it. And the category is travel. We'll start with you, Kate, because you're clearly on fire today.
I mean, I'm clearly in my travel car, like, you know, in the travel zone reporting live.
You can't use
that. Oh, God. Damn it, it's already been used. I mean, I've peaked too soon, guys. This is it. It's over. God, travel. I was thinking when you sent the email around, a few years ago, I had to go, sounds like it was really hard, to Japan for work. And it was like, no, really hard, guys. It was like this exchange trip. And there was like people from the UK, people from Germany, people from Finland going over, and all really excited. It was arranged by the Japanese Cabinet Office, so it was, you know, it was a big deal. And I was a bit younger at the time. And then we got there, and on the morning of like this big welcome ceremony, so there was hundreds of people there welcoming us for this trip. And about half an hour before it started, they went, "We're really looking forward to your." Your cultural presentation. And we were like, our what? And they were like, well, after the introductions, each delegation is going to get up and give a cultural presentation. And we were like, we have totally not got the memo. And we spoke to the Germans, and they were like, German delegation, they were like, oh yeah, I mean, we've arranged this whole slideshow with this whole presentation about the most important aspects of our cultural history. We were like, okay, cool. And then the Finnish delegation were like, we are about to go and get changed into our national dress and explain the meaning of that. And we were like, what?
I mean, what even is the British national dress?
What can you do that's culturally British off the hoop? I mean, we couldn't even think of it.
Wing it.
It was 11 a.m. Otherwise, I would have done that. Anyway,
yeah, that's the British way. Get five pipes lined up. Pretend it's an airport. Go, here it is. This is Britain.
Have a bit of a fight. Yeah. Make it all up again. Yeah. Everything's right. Anyway,
giving myself some points for that. I'm hilarious. Right.
We had literally like a few minutes to think what to do, and up on stage after the introductions. I got shoved the microphone, and we did what the only thing we could think of doing, which was we got everybody up and we demonstrated the hokey cokey.
Great idea.
I was like, okay, so I got shoved the microphone, surprise. And we were like, well, just demonstrate it once. This is a really important part of our British cultural childhood. And, you know, we did one round. We just did a left arm in, left arm out, and thought we'll leave it there. There was this big dramatic pause, and they were like, we must all have a go. They cleared the room, everything. Tables to the side. We had 200 people, including the Japanese Cabinet Office, doing the hokey pokey. And we got all the way through. It wasn't just a left arm in. We got to the whole body in, the whole body out. No one was stopping until this was done. And then when we finished, it was like tables back. Everyone sat down. Thank you very much. Let's carry on now. It was the most surreal.
No one thought anything was amiss with that presentation.
No, and that was the weird thing. Everyone was just like, we want more. Let's carry on. We have to do the whole thing. So I'm just there on my own, on the stage, being like, you're right arm in. Awful.
For corporate events, it's actually a perfect thing to do because they always want something. Can you do something that everyone can join in on? No, I'm talking. You know, but if you say hokey cokey, they bloody love it. Of course they will. And we've got loads of limbs. You can do all the limbs, can't you? So go on for
loads of limbs.
Yeah. Yeah. You could go on for ages.
Yeah. Ears, nose. Yeah.
We didn't even know if the hokey pokey was British. We thought,
that's what I was going to say.
It seems quite German somehow.
It does seem quite German. It seems like we've taken the word, like it's really sort of originally sort of the doki doki or something.
Yeah,
it's a Danish thing where they go, oh, the doki doki. And it's like we've turned it into the hokey cokey.
Yeah. Well, culturally, has anybody Googled the hokey cokey? I'm doing it now.
I was worried. I think when we looked into it, this was a few years ago, I think, if I remember, hokey cokey is British. The hokey pokey is American. Now, if we'd done the hokey pokey on stage, it would have been a very different show.
Yeah. Whereas everybody prefers pokey cokey.
Pokey cokey.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's always been a good night when you end up with a bit of pokey cokey. So.
It's going to be my next stage performance. What can I say?
Do the pokey cokey.
Hokey cokey and hokey pokey. They're the same things, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're both a bit of hokey pokey. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right arm in, your right arm's out.
No, that's different. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm shaking it all about. I don't know how I'm making this crass.
Very violent.
It is quite crass, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's what it's all about at the end of the day.
But it's a terrible thing to be asked to do something, what is British? It's really
just
hard.
Turn up ill-prepared is probably a very good example.
Just sort of walk on stage and go, well, we used to own everything. You know us.
Just arrogance.
Yeah.
Just to try anything off the cuff. Oh, we did also, I mean, I missed the peak of it. We did also, on a serious note, sing A Round of London's Burning, which people didn't want an encore for and asked us to stop very quickly. So,
did you get a bit full of yourself at that point? You were like, I've got it. This is going to bring them to their knees. This is exciting. Yeah. London's Burning.
You have somebody playing it on the recorder as well, don't you, if you're doing London? But you have to bring in, you have to wheel in a small child who's got a recorder to do London.
But also, at some point in a room full of people, you're all shouting, fire, fire, fire.
That's historically significant, though.
Exactly. So we did give a bit of, after the Hokey Pokey, someone did give a bit of the history about the fire of London. And then we sang it in the most excruciating, if you can imagine 12 slightly awkward middle-aged British people on the stage doing A Round of London's Burning. Yeah, it was really quite excruciatingly painful.
This is outstanding. Has anyone else got a travel story? I mean, it's not going to be this, is it?
No, not be the hokey cokey in Japan. Does it have to be a work travel story, Vic? Or because is it travel travel story?
Deliberately broad. It can be anything.
I have told this story once before, not on this, on a different podcast, though, and it happened.
Other podcasts exist. What?
Other podcasts are available.
How dare you?
So you've cheated on Vic's.
I know, but it was the last big trip I went on before somebody fingered a bat, and. and I went to Mexico at the end of 2019 diving, and I got what I can only describe as sudden onset catastrophic diarrhea.
No. While you were diving?
Yeah.
In your wetsuit?
Yeah, in a double layer wetsuit. I didn't even know it was possible to sweat at 20 meters underwater, and it is. It just... Have you ever had it where it just hits you like 1 minute you're absolutely fine, and then the next minute you're like, the entire world is going to just...
And it's explosive as well. The violence of it is something you go, oh, my God.
It is, isn't it?
What is happening?
You wouldn't produce that much energy in a gym.
Yeah.
When you think about it...
You're exhausted afterwards.
It is explosive energy.
Inside a wetsuit. Did it create a balloon?
Oh, God. So this happened, right? So it hit me. I was underwater and, my eyes sort of went, I went cross-eyed in my mask. And my other half, we were doing hand signals. She was going, are you okay? And I'm going, I'm okay. And she went, are you sure you're okay? And I'm going, I'm okay. Stop going on about it. I'm okay. We surface and I'm like, I'm not okay. I'm really not okay. I've got to get back to shore. I managed to hold it. I sort of origamied my arsehole inwards. So I managed to hold it, the full journey of the very bouncy boat journey back to shore.
No. Where
I got off the boat and then I just said, I'm not going to make it. And it was the scene in Bridesmaids where she's in the bridesmaids dress. She goes, I'm going.
It's coming at me like lava.
Oh, Oh, and you can't stop
I
it.
I couldn't get the fucking wetsuit off. Oh, God. And I had a double layer wetsuit, which was quite cold water, so I had to get two layers off.
Oh, no.
And
did it have to be incinerated?
Well, what happened was I did manage.
She's like, I want to take this home. Can I just pay for it here and wear it home?
Luckily, it's washed down, isn't it? You can wash it right
I did manage to clear the lower half of the wetsuit, but I wasn't going to be able to move anywhere. And essentially, I had to shit in somebody's very, very pleasant seafront property's front garden. And we had to burn the island and leave the next day. It was, it's. Oh. Brutal.
You had the wetsuit on though, because imagine if you'd been down there with just a bikini or something. I mean, can you imagine?
I don't know which is worse. I think
which is
you
worse?
Could have swum away from it, couldn't you? You see, done that thing of gone. Somebody's done something disgusting.
So
over
back
there.
Yeah. A fish.
There's a trail.
That fish.
I always wonder if you do it underwater, does it? But is it like a fish's where it's just like 18 foot long? You know, like you see a goldfish whose crap is sort of four lengths longer than their body. That must fascinate fish. They must turn around and go, Jesus Christ, look at the size of that, Brenda.
Can they take a selfie and send it to their mates? Yeah. Go, look at that.
Literally the size of me.
Yes. I've wrapped it around
swim
the tank.
Swim next to it. Go on, swim next to it. I watched your videos when I was last on holiday because I was on the plane and there was some you and Mark Watson doing frankly ridiculous challenges.
Oh, yes, in Jamaica. That was a...
You that made was... the shittest cocktail I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. Me and Mark. That was one of the best. I mean, that was travel work, but that was just one of those jobs that comes out of nowhere where you go, what? So my agent... I was in a travel lodge in Manchester. My agent went, what are you doing next Friday? I went, I think I'm doing a gig in Leicester or something. She went, you're going to Montego Bay. Oh, like I'd won a holiday. And I went, what? And she went, yeah, you've got this advert. And I didn't even do an audition for it, which is probably why I got it. Because anything I ever audition for never comes to fruition. Me and Mark Watson ended up flying out to Montego Bay for 10 days, 2 weeks to do this Chewy sort of commercials, which was
they still exist. Fun. You can watch them on the in-flight entertainment.
Are they still on there?
They're still there. Oh,
they're getting
well, they
their
were, like, when I last went on holiday, yeah.
They are getting their money's so worth.
This wasn't where the wetsuit problem happened, was it?
No.
That all right, okay. We didn't film that. There's not footage.
No, there wasn't. No, okay. That was all, yeah. That was me and Mark Watson on a zip line. He's not very... I'm quite cack-handed, but boy, is Mark Watson cack-handed. I mean,
he shouldn't ever be on a zip line.
Not good at heights, but I had to talk him down at one point. I'm hanging on to him. He's like a screaming girl. So
I could not have done that. I really have a thing about heights. And it really upsets me that I have it because I think it's so ridiculous. But there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
You don't even know. And yeah. I didn't know I had it till I was going up the Empire State Building when I realised, me and my friend. And
that's the wrong time to find it.
Yeah, because it's
scaling
like
the outside
sort of staircase. And I remember from a kid, I always hated going to castles because it was spiral staircases. And halfway up the Statue of Liberty, I just froze. And my mates, he's laughing, going, go on. I was going, I literally can't. Move up or down, and then your mind goes insane. And I was going, I won't be able to move, and there's a load of tourists behind me. I was going, well, they're just going to have to send a helicopter. I don't know why I thought that, and that somehow I'd be airlifted out. And then so he said, well, go on your hands and knees. So I went up on my hands and knees.
No.
And you get to the crown. I don't think you can go in the crown anymore, but then you could go in the crown, which is a real disappointment because it's got windows, but basically they're like the back of a transit van is what it looks like. When you look, you go, it's just fucking... And also, I didn't want to look, so I'm going, yeah, I've seen it. It's like a transit van. Just fucking let me go. And then I thought going down will be easier. Going down, even worse. Like, you're sick, and you can see a way to throw yourself off. That's the thing. You always think you're going to throw yourself off. And that whole holiday then... was me wanting to throw myself off various heights everywhere we went. And then we went, oh, let's drive down the West Coast. Oh, that's all estuaries. That's bridges. Oh, I hate bridges. Oh, well, we'll do that on driving. And I have a thing about driving over bridges. So yeah. It was a fucking nightmare.
So it was really relaxing then?
Really relaxing.
Yeah. You know, You see those bridges? Have you seen those bridges? I think they're in China, where they're glass bridges that people walk out on.
Oh, I just couldn't.
And then, No.
Went to the Grand Canyon. That was another waste of money. We did the helicopter ride because my husband wanted to do it. And I thought, because I've been in seaplanes, so I thought a helicopter ride would be fine. Soon as it started moving, I'm like, fucking hell, I'm going to open the door and jump out. And everyone, it's so weird. Everyone else is just chatting. Like, they're having the best time of their lives. I'm sitting next to the pilot. I'm like, why am I sitting in this seat? And he keeps going about how it's 2 miles deep. I'm like, and I did the whole thing with my hands over my eyes, couldn't see a thing. Couldn't see what a complete, it was about 250 quid. What a waste of money. Didn't see anything.
I did that in Vegas with Cirque du Soleil. The seat was really nice and it was on an angle so you could look up the aerial work, and I just went to sleep. I was really tired. The time difference is too much. You've seen 10 minutes of that. You've seen it all, haven't you? I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah. You're going, oh, is it other people performing? That's a bit dull. I'll have a sleep.
Yeah. It was impressive, but was it entertaining? I don't know. But yeah, my mother-in-law had paid for that for us as a gift. So she gave us a full, what was it like? Was it good? And I was like, yeah, it was great. Lovely sleep.
It's really
lovely,
relaxing. Comfy seats. Yeah.
You could wing your way through narrating a Cirque du Soleil show, though, couldn't you? You could just say there were some skinny people dressed as lizards and some poles. Yeah, and you'd pretty much get it right.
Yeah. Bit of spandex.
Yeah, there's a lot of spandex. Somebody went from a trampoline, threw a hoop, and then disappeared in fire. And it was great.
It's always going to be true, I reckon. That is solid.
They must have reached peak Soleil now, haven't they? I mean, there's only so many ways that you can jump off poles, isn't there?
Swinging
if people
around.
People keep paying, they'll keep doing it. We're just encouraging them with our money. It's something new. It's like river dance still going. And
people are
just banging bins. What's happening there?
If something runs long enough, it never ends, because then people go, oh, but everyone goes to see that show. Yeah. Doesn't matter how shit it is. People are just idiots, aren't they? Go, oh, everyone's going, well, let us go as well. And then it runs for another 20 years.
Lady Boys of Bangkok.
Oh,
yeah.
Cardiff is mad for that.
Now known as the Manners of Chiang Mai. I mean, it's just...
Is that progressive? I don't know.
No.
Probably not, is it?
No.
But that was travel. One category, half a show done. Great.
I've only just realised what that sound is.
It's my bingo ball.
It's a great sound.
You're doing your balls, but...
So why is she grinding coffee?
It's rude, isn't it?
Yeah. Mid-show?
Rub it into my gums because I'm bored. No, I'm having a lovely time. I'm having a lovely time. Right, guilty pleasures. Don't feel like you feel guilty about any pleasures.
I think that's the thing with it. My guilty pleasure maybe is I really hate people saying, oh, what's your guilty pleasure? Just fucking do it.
That's not going to win you any points for me.
Okay. I suppose there might be things I might... Oh, no. Is there anything I'm ashamed of liking? No.
Oh.
I love that.
Nothing
at all. Wow.
Maybe when I was younger, when I gave a shit, and now I'm just like, you get a bit older, you just don't care anymore, do you? You're like, everyone else is enjoying a Friday night out, and I'm still in my pyjamas, even though, like, freedom is, the world's reopened again, and I'm still enjoying staying in. I don't care, because I'm older now. I don't care. I can do what I like.
Yeah, no, it is that thing. People going, oh, I'm really naughty for liking this. You go, is it naughty? Heroin in the eye, that's naughty. It's like, just feels so sort of wimpy to go, oh, my guilty pleasure. And people, I just think, well, if you like it, you like it, don't you? I think it's always people who, they like something lowbrow, so they want to make out that that's their only thing that they like that's like that. My guilty pleasure, do you know what? I watch Location, Location, Location. I know what I care about. I watch some reality television.
It's a place in the sun for me.
I watch the entire series of Ink Master. That's if you want to go. And I don't even have tattoos. I was obsessed with it. But that's when people go, it's my guilty pleasure because you might look down on it.
I don't know. For me, with those shows, like particularly with Come Dine With Me, I think what makes me feel guilty is I want them to not get on. I want the dish to be shit. I do not want anyone to succeed. So it's a different type of guilt.
Well, it's really boring.
It's an element of my personality that's unsavoury.
Yeah. You don't want to watch people being good cooks and having a nice time in someone's nicely, tastefully decorated house, do you? That's terrible.
And they never let you have that, even if you did. It's wonderful.
And even... Even their shit dishes are better than most of my attempts at cooking. So, you know, I've got nothing to say there on those.
Do you know what? They did a celebrity one, and it was the only time I've seen a comic do it like this. And God rest his soul, it was Sean Hughes, and it made me laugh so much because, of course, he didn't take it seriously, but everyone else who were comedians did, and people were annoyed at him because, and I thought, what a great thing to do. So he made, for the starter, he made like these mini shepherd's pies, and everyone's like, well, this is really lovely, mini shepherd's pie. Then for the main course, he made a bigger shepherd's pie. And then for the pudding, he made another mini shepherd's pie, and I thought, that's fucking hilarious, isn't it?
So they didn't take that in the spirit it was intended.
They didn't, and also he didn't film in his house. They were going, oh, this is nice. He went, oh, it's not my house. They've rented it for me. Like, he did not play the game at all.
So he couldn't go snooping around his cupboards. Yeah. He
was like, you look anywhere, it's not mine.
That's rubbish.
Please tell me he was
so genius. How was he scored?
He did not win. They scored him badly because everyone else had made a real effort.
But if you do too well, you get scored badly as well, though, because people are awful.
So, they think you're going to win. Yeah. So they score you
down.
They're
like, this is brilliant. I was like carried here on a unicorn. All my favourite foods are available. 6.
Yeah. I really hate the people who have
In the interest of fairness, 6.
Yeah. I've made friends for life. 6. It's like that 4 in a bed as well. It's the same level.
Oh, I love 4 in a bed.
That
love
it. Absolutely love it.
I love it. Like the really, really, really picky ones who go around going, I found one speck of dust under the bed that no one's moved in 17 years. And then when someone comes to their place and calls out anything, even if it's quite major, they're like, oh, they were so picky. I can't believe it. How ungrateful. And it's like, what? You can't have it both ways.
I love people's idea of good taste.
They're not people who should ever be near the general public, but yet they've opened their homes to people. You know, they're awful people.
But why do they think that's good advertising? You're not going to watch them and then go,
no.
Oh, I really
want to go. I'll go there because they've got pubic hair under their mattresses.
My favourite. Every dish includes mushrooms. That was my favourite episode. No, it wasn't. It was the one with Charlotte Church's parents where their house was just covered in Charlotte Church merchandise and they were waiting for someone to ask. And No one did. They were like, and then they had to confront them with it. They're like, you might be wondering why all these pictures. And they were like, nah. No, we just thought
you liked Charlotte Church. Bit of a fan. Yeah.
Oh, that was a lovely episode. I hated Charlotte Church as well because we were around the same age and she was very successful.
Where is she now, though? Where is Charlotte Church now?
Sort of.
Is she still?
Exactly. She's not running a cool podcast, is she? She's not. In the UK. No. At home, warbling away in a local pub.
By the fruit machine.
Last time I heard her on something, she was on, what's that show? I don't listen to it. The Infinite Monkey Cage. I was in the car and she was on talking about quantum physics with Brian Cox and Robin Ince.
She
was a big fan. And I was like, well, wait till they ask you a question, then see what you say. And I was like, oh, fuck, she does know about it. Yes.
Well, you,
it's the sort of thing you can't really lie about.
Can't wing that, can you?
That's what I was thinking. God, I would never be a guest on this. No. Yeah. But she did know.
Fair play to her. She went to a fancy private school in Cardiff. I didn't like those.
All right, get over it, Vix. Get over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You private school people, you stick together. We found this out last time. You and Ishan ganging up.
Is hating Charlotte Church one of your guilty pleasures, Vix?
Oh, I don't feel guilty about that at all.
I think it's quite out in the open, isn't it? Yeah.
Not a shred. Yeah, it's just a joy. It's a little life joy for me.
Right. She goes to the balls again.
What's the worst gift you've ever given or received?
Oh, God.
Well, I gave my husband, I always remember his face, and I say it now, that's your, I've just given you a kite face, isn't it?
It's become a thing, isn't it?
I gave him a kite, and if you know my husband, like one, he doesn't like countryside. He doesn't like activities. Even if I say, let's go for a walk up a hill where people might fly kites, he'd be like, but is it near buildings and pubs? And I'd go, no. He goes, I don't want to go. I don't know why I gave him a kite.
What shape was the kite?
It was what I thought was good, Zoe, was that it was a foldable kite. That, so you could take it around with you. He could just have it in his back pocket.
And then, everybody loves a travel
kite. Travel kite.
Just in case it took his fancy at any particular moment.
Travel kite.
Exactly. Yeah.
What else did you get him?
I got him other things that he'd asked for, but left to my own devices. And now that's what he always says, exactly what he wants, and I'll get exactly what he wants. Because what I imagine, I suppose I wanted a different kind of husband who wanted to go fly kites. That's what I wanted. Yeah.
Teachable moment, that was.
Yeah.
Go rogue.
I had years ago, and when I was in my late 20s, me and a mate would we had this kind of competition of who could get each other the worst birthday present. Our birthdays were 2 days apart, and he'd been in the lead for years because he'd bought me a plastic made to look like wood but didn't cuckoo clock with this little plastic bird that just went eh. I mean it was just horrific.
Yeah,
and I was
terrible.
Desperate to win back, and so I spent another 2 years convincing him we should just leave this now, you've won, let's just forget this. I bought him two nice presents. And then
I love the long game of this.
I had to wait until I believed that he was convinced, because he was just yeah, this is bullshit. I was honestly, so I bought him two nice presents. And then when I thought he was really convinced, I bought him, I was I've got you tickets for a surprise. He was well, where is it? And I was oh, I can't really give it away, but it's in Leeds. And he was but how should I get dressed up? And I was well, I think you should get dressed up, and I was this is where we're going to go. And he was that's a warehouse district. So he really thought we were going to some big day disco. And I was I'll drive us there and I'll leave my car and we can get a taxi home. And as we rounded the corner and we saw this big, long queue of people with grey hair, I handed in the tickets to the audience of Countdown.
That sounds really fun, though. Yeah. I get that gift.
Fun for 5 minutes, Vix.
No, it's
But it goes on for hours. Yeah.
Oh, no. Fair enough, though.
But he was in this, massive, gay going out outfit. He looked camp as you could get, as you could be, alongside just a whole audience of older people. But Carol Vorderman did make him stand up and sing him happy birthday. I think that was really the icing on the cake. And I think after that moment, he realised that I'd won for all eternity. So I was
Vorderman Countdown as well. Vorderman Countdown.
Yeah, proper.
Vorderman, it was back in the day. Richard, it was even Richard Countdown. This is how long it was.
Was it version one or version two of Vorderman? Pre or post leather trouser?
Oh, she had leather trousers on at the showing. She does the maths in real time. She's a clever lady.
And she's got an ass that won't quit as well.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic story. Well done.
I mean, I don't think he thought it was, particularly when she made him stand up in front of everybody and the whole room sang him happy birthday.
Did he not love it a little bit?
No, he was dying inside.
Did the people who were singing love it, or did they not like
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. No. They loved it.
Oh, it's nice, isn't it? Sounds like when I went to see Sandy Toksvig, there were a lot of sensible shoes in that room.
Yeah. Clear out any local branch of Clark's. Yeah.
Yeah. Sensible shoes, sensible haircuts everywhere, as far as the eye could see. And I was so keen, I got front row tickets as well. And the guy next to me kept trying to chat to me. He was about 70 and his wife was elbowing him aggressively. I was like, don't worry, love. He's safe. It's fine. good times. Oh. Right. Any other bad gifts given and received? Zoe?
I think the work, well, not... The most bizarre gift receiving I got was from my, I was trying to think of what to call her then, because we are consciously uncoupled and the light just flickered. it's
and again. Oh my God.
She's here. Oh, the energy in the room.
I think it's because I said consciously. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Turn the light off.
Stop saying it.
Jesus.
Spirits are restless.
Oh, stop. It's so yes, my wife, as was many Christmases ago, I'd asked for a coat for Christmas. I'd gone to the shop to show her which one I wanted. She said, "What would you like for Christmas?" I'd like a denim jacket that I've seen. I do like a bit of double denim. I'll absolutely double down on the denim. So it was. I'm going to have to turn that light off because it's freaking the shit out of me. Give me 1 second. I can't.
Flicking at double denim as well.
Being in the middle of a seance. So I asked for this denim jacket. It was such a lesbian denim jacket as well. It was something, it was so Brokeback Mountain. It was a Wrangler one with like the
oh, lovely. Ball. I love sheepskin
collar. Sheepskin, loved it. Yes. I was like, oh, I've always wanted one of those.
I've got a cord one like that.
Yes. Mm. It's essential. So that's what I asked for Christmas. And on Christmas morning, it's one of those stupid things where you ask for something and you know what you're getting, but she wrapped it up anyway. On Christmas morning, I unwrapped it and discovered that not only was my coat in there, but she'd also bought herself a rather expensive coat and wrapped it up with my coat.
By accident or?
No. Just by a sort of, well, I went crazy and bought myself this as well. I was like, that is not how gift giving works. That is not
one for you, one for me.
Yes. That was about 10 years ago and I still bring it up.
So that's a really bizarre thing to do, though. It's
quite a bizarre thing.
The thought process of, well, that's Zoe's present.
Yes.
Why? If I buy myself something really lovely and put it in with Zoe's present, then it's sort of somehow hidden? Like I'm giving Zoe two presents.
One of those weird.
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah. She'll be so happy to see me happy in this coat. I'm just going to wrap that up.
Yeah. I think I ate my dinner with, you know, when you hold your fork sort of fist down like that, just fucking like.
But I definitely don't to explain you did get what you wanted, though.
I did.
Why all the hate?
But there's a sort of etiquette to gift giving, isn't there? And some of it you didn't think you'd have to explain.
In any culture, that's not on it.
Ceremonies like give it her back or like.
I didn't give it to her back. She was like, oh, that bit's mine.
That's kind of like a 5-year old would do gift giving. Oh, I got one in for me as well. Is that how it works? No, it's not. Well, I'm going to do
it
that way.
I bought you some chocolate, Mummy. I'm going to eat it.
It's like when you only get two of the three gifts on a Boots 3 for $2. And you're like, what did I get?
What did I get? Yeah. That was,
they've all got the green present on them. It's like, okay, where's the other one?
Yeah. So with the bit you kept for yourself.
She's still got that coat. Every time she puts it on, my lip curls like angry Jack Russell. I'm like,
Have you still got the jacket?
I do.
Do you still wear it?
I do. It's never really suited me.
you could have put it on for us now.
Yeah. I haven't got it here because I'm currently in my divorced dad flat.
It looks nice though. I like what you've done with it. You've got
this is everything
behind you now.
This is everything. There's fuck all out there. There's like nothing.
I like the fact that there's a half empty bottle of red wine.
There's a half empty bottle of red wine. This is me showing discipline, Joe. I thought if I put the half empty bottle of red wine there, they can see that I have some sort of self-control.
Yeah, I stopped.
Nearly one.
What you're not seeing is the 5 completely empty bottles before I got to the 6th one. I'm going to leave half, so at least it looks like I've got some self-control.
And was that this morning?
That was brekkie. Yes, Pinot Noir, which is a very light wine for breakfast. So,
yes, that's posh. That's a posh breakfast. I mean, I'm impressed.
Posh breakfast, yeah. I mean, I do treat myself, you know. If you are,
so you deserve it.
I'm going to come back to guilty pleasures again.
Yeah, move on. You know, Zoe's got emotional. Yeah. Keep it light.
I just say, Zoe, not only your hat and your top coordinator, you're also coordinating with your chair, we saw when you got up.
It's a new rule I have. It's a new rule. It's and the vase.
It's just slightly
more orange, but, you know, we're getting there. Yeah. I'd get rid of it, but it's my only possession.
Oh, well, that got dark. Right, onwards.
I'm fine.
Is that a vodka in that bottle?
I've got a bottle of vodka. I'm fine.
Honestly, guys.
Experiences meeting people online.
Well, I think I've never done the sort of dating thing online yet.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, here we go.
Hello.
Oh my God, no.
Can you imagine listening to yourself as a comedian? Oh, tell us a joke.
Oh God. My friend is currently looking for a gentleman online, shall we say. And
She won't have any luck.
She sends me the pictures and it's just, oh God. I mean, these are actual human beings.
Oh, it's incredible also.
Oh God. She sent me one the other day. It was this guy looking at the camera like that, sort of slightly down. He put under his description, he said, I'm looking for steak, not kebab meat. That was what he put. Oh, that was an actual.
Oh my God.
An actual human being. An actual living, breathing human being.
How, yeah, and how deluded they are.
I know. What's wrong with kebab
meat?
My friend
might be the same friend as you, comedian. And she's looking and she sends us on WhatsApp, she sends us the men that are interested in her. And it's unbelievable. One, the age and the state of them. Mm. And she went, oh, this is Meet Martin. I'm like, where's Martin been living? She's like, under a bridge taking heroin. You know, just like horrible. You know, I'm insulted for her, but they think they would be totally up for her. I'm like, have you seen what she looks like and what you are? I mean, God almighty, let alone, you know, 15 years age gap. And then there's some, she goes, oh, John says he's 50. And the rest, you know. Also, ask weird things. This is, I'm whispering like she would know. This is someone else, right? And some bloke, and she got divorced, did online dating, mainly for a bit of fun, you know, boost her ego, meet some dates. And this bloke, they were going to go out for coffee. And he said, texted to go, well, I'd like to see if there's a sexual chemistry first. So could we have sex first and then go for coffee? Yeah. And she was just like, how often does that work?
Not even coffee.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, it's always latte before lay. That's the rules, isn't it?
A couple of years ago, there's like, I mean, lesbians of a certain age, there's about six online. And we kind of, whatever app you're on, you kind of end up swiping past the same women.
It's just me. It's different angles now.
There's another thing. You're like, oh, that's a new. Oh no, it's just somebody from a different angle. Yeah. But I was the last time I was at Glastonbury, I was in the queue for the showers after a particularly big night. So me and a couple, you know, all feeling a bit rough. And this woman's walking out of the showers, and we kind of looked at each other. You know, when you recognise somebody, but you can't recognise, you don't know where from. So she stopped to say hi and so how's your Glastonbury? Blah blah blah. And after about 2 seconds, we both realised exactly the same time. We don't know each other. We've never met. We've never even messaged. We've just swiped past each other for the past however many years.
I've been rejecting you for a decade.
Yeah.
We just reject each other over and over and over again. And my mates were like looking at me as if to say, "What? Why are you not introducing us to this person?" So we were, you know, we're like, oh, anyway, you know, have a lovely time.
And
when she walked off, I was like, I don't know her. We've just swiped past each other. It was the most awkward moment.
Oh, hi, yeah. You're that woman I'm not remotely interested in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many times I see you. It's always a no. You try different things. I'm not going for it.
You're the woman I swipe past because I think, oh, you've been on here for too long, even though I've been on there the same amount of time, obviously. There's something wrong with you.
On the shelf.
Is that like when you see a house that's been on Rightmove for too long and you go, that's got some sort of foundational problems?
They're going to have to reduce the price of that.
Yeah.
Something
a surveyor's been in and something's leaking.
Funnily enough, what happened to me. But anyway.
Well, any other online experiences to report?
Well, I think we've all got the new Zoom audience online experiences, haven't we? And I did a gig, I can't remember who the gig was for online, but the audience was just a spectacular clusterfuck of human beings. It was just, I couldn't concentrate because I was just going through the gallery going,
is that what it's sleep?
Yeah. There were two people in bed, right? But it looked it looked like the set of a sort of low budget 1970s porn movie. She sort of had like a Wincy at Nighty on, and he was lying there like that with one arm behind. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. So you spotlighted them to really enjoy the moment.
It was just. And then there was another one. There was a guy had turned up, like he must have been 60. They were in the 60s. The sort of bloke you'd meet at a bar who thinks he's absolutely hilarious. You know, the way,
what a card.
And he turned up dressed as Superman. He was sitting on his sofa just dressed as Superman with his wife beside him who fell asleep during the gig, but sort of in that way, like a sort of sex doll that's got a slow puncture. She just slowly deflated during the course of... These are actual human beings.
I think that's what I've loved about Zoom so much. I love looking at people's houses. And then sometimes you, like one of them, I was like, oh, this man, I feel really sad for him. Because he was a man, he was about my age. But I thought, he's in his bedroom. Why are you doing this in your bedroom? You're in your 50s. Mm. And then he started to eat his dinner. Oh. And I was like, oh no, you're living in a bedsit and you're watching comedy and it's so sad. And I felt, and he didn't look bad. He looked sort of quite put together. And then I thought, oh, I know why. You're in some halfway house. You're a pedo. That's what I immediately.
you went on a journey.
I went immediately went there. And then he turns up at quite a few then. You get to know people who come to gigs, don't you? And I'm like, oh, the pedo's there again. weird.
But they said no evidence whatsoever.
No, none at all. None at all. But there's something. Why is he living in a bed? You know, is he eating in his bedroom? Which that's put me off. Yeah. But it is nice to be able to look at people. There were some other people, I've forgotten about them now. My favourite thing is if you have a Zoom and you can listen in on the audience, but they don't know.
Yeah.
And I've had couples arguing, and then one, it was a birthday, so it was like a private thing. And it was so funny because it was just a woman on her own in her bedroom. Her family hadn't joined yet. And she was shouting to her husband, well, what is it then? I'm looking, I can't see anything. I just see myself. Like, she didn't know how it worked or anything at all. And then we'd been told to keep it clean because it was a birthday. And then her and her husband, who you don't see the husband, and they're just talking about the royal family. It was after the Meghan and Harry interview. And she was going, well, I didn't like it. What did you think? Oh, I don't know. I think she's a fucking cunt, that one. We were met, all the comments are messaging going, I think we're going to say what we like. She's just saying she's a fucking cunt.
Just
oh, my God.
Keep it clean, but not. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I've done the classic unmuted, say something. Been in the background waiting to go on at a corporate gig. And I'm looking at the wall popping up. I had my camera off, but I'd forgotten to my mic was live. And I'm looking at the wall popping up and I'm looking at the briefing. The brief's going, you know, they're a young, vibrant, hip group of urban architects.
Nice.
I'm like, as they're coming up, I'm like, they're not.
So I wish.
I phoned the...
Oh, we've lost Kate.
Oh, Kate's gone.
Oh, no. I'm back.
There we go.
Oh, you're in a different square.
So I thought I'd better just make sure I'm on the right Zoom. So I phoned the promoter and went, Chris, is this BlackRock Architects? Because you told me they were an urban, gritty bunch. What I'm looking at is a bunch of people in a fucking care home. Oh, shit!
That's a great stage start to your set, though. Like, that would be quite... You could just style it out. Like, oh, I do this at every gig.
Yeah.
Oh, did you front it out? Opening
line.
You funky architects.
Had you going there for a minute?
Oh, I think my favourite was a couple that I became obsessed with because the guy was really into the comedy. It was like an all-female lineup. And so the woman was just hanging all over him. Like, there was some risk that she'd lose him. So she was like kissing the side of his neck. She was behind him with her arms around him. It was really weird. I was like, if you don't want to watch the comedy, fuck off.
Yeah.
Put on your own show. I was obsessed. And he wasn't acknowledging her at all, but she was just like trying all these different like positions around his head, like snuggling in. I didn't get it. It's like no one on the gig wanted to sleep with him. He was not a looker. It was safe.
It was safe.
You could have just left him there. It's fine. He was perfectly safe. No one's sliding into the Zoom DM for him.
You're so ugly. This is an entirely safe space for you.
Yeah.
You have triggered literally no one.
There is someone for everyone. You found him for you, and we're all very happy for you and very comfortable in our own life choices. But it was just getting more and more like gratuitous and attention seeking. And I don't even remember if I did my set. I was just
I'm surprised how well behaved people are now I think about it, really.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been much sort of people wandering around swinging their dicks, you know, across the
I haven't done it yet.
As far as we know. You can only see people's shoulders for the most part. They
True.
Letting it free.
Maybe that man wasn't playing the piano. No.
just playing one note.
Tinkling the ivory.
Well, unbelievably, that is all we've got time for.
Oh,
I know. I know. It's gone really quickly.
But so yeah, let's go around and talk about what we're doing with our lives. Kate, you live in a car.
I live in a car. I mean, I will try and get back into my own flat at some point, you know, but
well, through the side door, aren't there actually anymore.
Yeah,
you've got new doors. That's exciting. New doors.
Give them a good swing. That's an afternoon's work, isn't it?
I will be swinging through the doors all afternoon with the shoulder shimmy.
Kind of doing it back. I don't know why. Right. Well, now we can see all of you. Sorry to let you know. We can see it's a panorama. We can see your shoulders. Yeah,
what?
We can see you're not wearing any trousers. It's weird.
But you requested that like normal pics, so.
No, that was
you've got black headphones. I've never seen that before. They look lovely.
Yeah,
they look like spiky earrings. I like them.
Yeah, but
the closest I'm going to get to wearing an earring is a 40-year-old lesbian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look good. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us where we can find you? currently in a Dalton car park, but.
When I'm not in a Dalton car park, I can be at @KateMartin_says on Twitter, Instagram, and all other fabulous socials.
Yeah, we're doing Brighton Fringe, aren't we?
We are doing Brighton Fringe. Yeah, honestly, I've written all of it. It's
same.
Totally prepared.
So much Brighton.
So fine, totally relaxed.
Jo, what about you? What are you doing at the moment?
My next job is I've got a stencil. I haven't ever do anything like this, and it's of a huge anchor, and I'm going to put it in my hall going to the garden. That's what I'm going to do right now. Yeah, never done anything like this before, because the lady next door who's lived there for 60 years said a sea captain used to live in this house. So I was thinking, oh, that would be nice, because I'm near the sea in Leith and that. So that's what I'm going to do. So what I'm saying is I'm up to nothing.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of projects on to make me feel busy. I'm going to Dobby's tomorrow to get more stuff for the garden. I am on Instagram and Twitter, Joe_Caulfield, Caulfield J. But other than that, yeah, I'm just doing this, nothing else apart from quite a lot of garden projects.
All valid.
This has just arrived. This is one of those, do you remember those?
For the audible experience.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, what have I got?
This is a listening vibe.
This is also for my hallway that goes to the garden for one of those, remember the 60s plastic, what do they call them? They call them fly.
Like bead curtains?
Yeah, but not beads, the plastic strips.
Like a butcher's curtain?
Butcher
flaps.
I think butcher flaps is something else entirely.
It's a new topic, surely.
Well, that's made me regret my purchase now. I'm going to make my house look like a butcher.
Butcher flaps,
that's exactly right.
Invite everybody to come through them.
Right, these are going back.
I'm sure they'll look lovely. Please keep us informed. Zoe, what about you?
My big thing is, career-wise, forget it. My big thing is next weekend or at the end of May, I'm running from London to Brighton.
Just to
sort of fit in with the old midlife crisis. And I'm running it for Sussex Beacon, which is a local charity, which is an HIV charity. And I'm on Instagram, so you can find out all about it on there.
End of May,
so
you're
Comedy,
doing it.
I think. Yeah.
Have you done that kind of distance before?
No.
Cool.
No. But my theory is, Vix, you can't actually train for something that long. You've just got to go and see if you can do it.
Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we?
If you never see me again, the answer is no, you can't do it.
Have you got a support car driving near you?
Can you imagine just somebody with a banana on a rather fishing rod like that? Yeah. Keep going, Zo. You fucking idiot. It's an organised event. I'm not just getting a train up to Victoria.
Lying on a stick, dangled in front of you, just keeping you motivated. But that sounds like horrible.
It'll be horrific. It'll be utterly horrific. Yeah, I've spent a lot of money on chaffing cream.
I was going to say, I didn't want to talk about nipples, but I really did. No. That's all.
I'm going to have to lube myself up like an East End jelly deal. I'm basically going to slide from London to Brighton.
It'll be like being back in that wetsuit again, isn't it?
Good callback, Kate.
I've looked at a map and it's all downhill from London to Brighton. So it's a straight up. Like, that's all straight
it's gonna
down.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, mate.
And then you'll be home when you get there. So
I'll be home. Yeah. Have a nap.
Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah, I'm going to run, how far is it? 60
62
miles?
62
miles. 62 miles, so I might have a nap after. Yeah.
I'll have a nap and a sandwich.
Yeah. Yes.
What a very varied range of activities we've got going on here. Well, Jo, you were the winner this time.
Oh, hi, put your flaps.
Yay. Butcher flaps.
Butcher flaps took it, huh?
That's what won it, Jo.
It was the butcher flaps what won it. Yeah, so well done. You've won the glory of Comedy Arcades after
thank
you
at this moment
you
in time.
The post last time.
I'm
well.
Taking it. I'm taking it and I feel better. Thank you. Yeah.
It was going to be Jo last time. And then Ishan Akbar revealed that he did a wee on a Zoom gig. He pretended his camera was broken and took his laptop to the toilet and did a wee. And it, yeah, that won it for me. I love a Creed story. I was like, more points for you. But yeah, vindicated. So thank you all for coming to the Comedy
thank
Arcade.
You.
It's been a joy
thanks
to have you
me.
Back.
Thanks for having us.
Have thank a you. Lovely evening. You're free to go.
Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Know. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.